All right, ladies. Well, we are at 10 after the hour. Is there anybody else that has joined that would like to introduce themselves? You don't have to. It's not a requirement, but if you would like to, that's fine. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and open up with just a word of prayer. Father, we thank you right now for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We thank you, Father, for how you are just guiding us and leading us through this time of this pandemic. We thank you, Father, because we know we have not been called to fear, but we have been called to power, love, and being of a sound mind. We thank you today, Father, that we know that when we go out on this week coming, God, that your angels of protection will be around us, Father. We also ask, God, that if we don't have to go out, that you give us that wisdom and that we will submit ourselves to the instructions of the land and stay in. Lord, God, we ask that you will, we invite you to this line on today, that whatever is said and done will be to thy will, be of thy will and to thy glory. Lord, we pray that you will open up our mind of understanding, open up our hearts to receive your word. And Lord God, that we can go forth and show of your goodness and your mercy and your kindness to others. We pray for restoration today, God, restoration and reconciliation of souls back unto you, God, that they may be able to come home once again, God, and just that we can all fellowship together. We ask, God, that you would touch the hearts and minds of our children, of spouses, on today, for because the first ministry is to the family. So we thank you today, God, for those who are working out in the fields, our essential employers, our nurses, our doctors, our health care, everybody in health care, everybody that has to be there to serve meals. God, we just, I can't even begin to imagine all the people that are putting their life on the line each and every day to do, to serve others. So we just say thank you right now, Father. We thank you right now in Jesus' name, and we ask that you will once again have your presence here on this line with us today as we go forth. Amen. So I was planning to have this call today with a couple that has a restored marriage ministry. I don't think he's going to be able to join, but unfortunately, his first ministry is sick, which is his wife, and so they were going to join us today. And just to kind of back up a minute, on Thursday nights we have been meeting, having standing on scripture calls. However, Thursday night has not been working out for myself as well as for a lot of other individuals. It's just kind of late at night. It's 9:30 for our East Coast family. And it's early for me, 6:30, but it's also right in the middle of dinner. And so it's just proven to be a bit of a challenge. So I asked God about trying to do something different and maybe do it on Sunday evening. So right before maybe dinner time for some, and hopefully not mess up and interfere too much with what you have planned in your day. So to those of you who have joined today, we really appreciate you joining. If you feel like, you know, there's a better time or this just doesn't work for you, let me know that. I'm going to give you my cell phone number at the end of this call. I am more than open with you texting me, and because I want to try to make it work for the masses. And it may not be that we find a time that works for everybody. This call is being recorded, so therefore we do ask that you not give the name, the last names of anyone. And also you may want to be careful in giving first names. So that's why I say it's not mandatory that you introduce yourself. I don't mind giving my information out. And if you slip up and say something that you really, really wish you had not said, let me know and I will make the request that we delete the call, because we do not have to publish the call either. So I think that's it for what I have in terms of announcements. One more thing. So there's a separate group called Virtuous Women. We have been meeting and discussing a book called The Bait of Satan. So one of the things I was thinking about doing was every other Sunday we would discuss The Bait of Satan, and on the opposite Sundays it would be just kind of an open call for restoration, kind of following in the same suit of standing on Scripture. And that way you're not taxed so heavily. You can pick and choose if you want to join. So we don't want to make it every weekend. We do every weekend that we're doing one or the other, but there is a venue open every weekend where you can come and be fed, share, ask questions. So today what I was hoping to do was talk a little bit, just very briefly, about spiritual warfare. If you have some questions, hopefully we can maybe go through and answer some questions. I do not claim to have all the answers readily available, but I am certainly more than willing to search amongst scholars that I know are more versed in the topic than I am and come back to you at a later date and time with a response. So I just wanted to share a little bit about something that I was reading and studying up on yesterday, and that is from a book called Pigs in the Parlor. Some of you may have heard about it. And this book, in the very first chapter, I was able to glean just so much from this. And what I want to do is just kind of share a little bit for you all to remember to be aware that at the beginning and end of the day, when you start standing on Scripture for a soul, you instantly go into spiritual warfare for that individual or individuals. And what I mean by that is whether you're praying for a child to be saved or a spouse to be saved or a friend to be saved, the enemy does not want to see that person saved. They don't want to see that individual come to Christ. And so you are fighting a battle with that with demonic forces against that and for that person's soul. And that can sound kind of scary. So what I liked about this chapter is we've seen those movies, and I talked about this before. We've seen those movies like The Exorcist that scared the bejeebies out of you, where they're really focusing on demon possession. Typically, that is not what we are dealing with in today's society. What we're dealing with are unclean spirits that have influenced the will of an individual so that that person is acting outside of God's plan and purpose for their life. You can have we all have a free will, right? We all have a free will. And if we yield our free will to unclean spirits, and by unclean spirits, it could be lying, it could be stealing, it could be something as big as adultery, it could be drinking, so alcohol, drugs, all of these are unclean spirits. And when we yield our members to these things, we give those spirits a legal right to continue to influence us. And if we don't stop and repent and say no and turn from those wicked things, then they begin to take over in us and inhabit us. And it becomes part of who we seem to be. It becomes part of our nature. So if you think about AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, that is for individuals that have allowed themselves to take on drinking to the point where they couldn't stop. And so then they get to a place either through whatever the means is, usually they say they reach the lowest point of their life, and then they come to their senses, like a prodigal does. They come to their senses, but AA has set it up so that these individuals can come and get continual help so that they don't go back into that sin of, let me say it this way, so that they don't go back into being influenced by alcohol. I'll say it like that, okay? And that's why when you get into spiritual warfare, it is continual. And you can't look at the individual, but you have to look at the spirit that is influencing that individual. And so the Word of God says that a tree is known by the fruit it bears. This is a spinoff of Rejoice Marriage Ministries. So if you start noticing your spouse saying things that are contrary to the Word of God, you can pretty much assume that that individual's free will has now been manipulated by an unclean spirit, and they are no longer acting according to the will and the word of God. So I'm going to stop right there for a second before I go any further, because I've said a lot. And I want to see if there are any comments or questions from those who have attended.
That makes a lot of sense when, you know, you're looking at it from a spiritual perspective and not what we see in, like, a physical perspective. Because I know, Lisa, I've shared with you plenty of times, and I'm like, this man that I'm dealing with now is like a totally different person. The stuff that he says and the stuff that he does is not the man that I married. And everything is contrary to what, you know, he went from being like, oh, this loving dad to barely speaking or seeing his children. So that makes a lot of sense, is where it's like, this is not that person. So when you said that,
right,
you know, we all have free will, it's basically like their free will has been hijacked and taken hostage. So it makes sense when you explain it that way.
Exactly. And then the same is true on the reverse. So when I was a prodigal and I was out here being rebellious and living in my own sin, I was not who God had called me to be. Now, on the reverse side, those who knew me in my darkest state, when they see me now and talk to me, they're like, Lisa, you are so different than what you used to be. Oh, my God. So now my free will, I have allowed the Holy Spirit to influence my free will. But rest assured that those unclean spirit, that unclean spirit of rebellion, it's sitting around waiting for the opportunity to start influencing me again. So I can have a conversation with my ex, and if he says something that is offensive to me, there is going to be this residue. I like that. I heard someone preach a message on the residue of sin. There's going to be that residue of rebellion that's going to want to rise up in me and rebel against what he's saying. He may be saying something that is very truthful, but because I allow because the enemy wants to take that and allow it to bait me in to being offended, just because someone says something that is offensive to us, we do not have to yield our members and receive that offense. So I have to be very careful, like my own AA, if you will, for rebellion. I have to be very careful, and I have to decree and declare that I am free from rebellion. I decree and declare that I am submissive. I decree and declare that I am a woman of humility, a woman of a gentle and a quiet spirit. And I speak those things over myself because I know, I have the knowledge to know that if I don't, then I'm going to yield to going right back into rebellion. Because, see, if I rebel once, then the enemy is like, uh-oh, she's rebelling. She's giving us legal right to come back in here again, and he'll do it again, and I'll rebel a second time, and I'll rebel a third time. And the next thing you know, the spirit of rebellion has taken over, and I'm now being influenced by that unclean spirit of rebellion again. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's why when we're standing for marriages to be restored, especially marriages to be restored, it is not about the other person. We can say, and I made this mistake early on, you know, pray for his heart to be, pray for him to have a clean heart and a renewed spirit. That's fine. That's good. That's a good prayer to make. But first of all, first and foremost, it needs to be, I'm praying for me to have a clean heart and a right spirit, because the enemy is going to always keep attacking me, and he's going to use the individual that is closest to me to bait me in, and that's going to be the father of my child. Whether I'm standing for a marriage to be restored or if I'm at peace with the being divorced, whatever the state of mind that you're in, he's going to always go and use that individual to attack us, because regardless of whether we accept to stand or not to stand, this is what God has said. So this is what the enemy is going to continue to do, is fight against marriage. He's going to fight against restoration. He doesn't even want the two of you to be friends, because if you're friends, then that's too much like family, and that's too much like the right thing. If you have a child, for that child to see the mother and the father getting along, oh, no, he don't want that. The enemy doesn't want anything associated with what God claims or calls to be righteous. He doesn't want it. So I want to say something here. I want to read a little passage from this book because I want you to know where I'm coming from. What would you do? I want you all to think about this. What would you do if a herd of filthy pigs came into your home? Would you pay no attention to them in the hope they would soon leave of their own accord? Would you try to clean up their mess as fast as they made it? You would do none of these things. You would drive them out as quickly and unceremoniously as possible. And this is to be our attitude towards, this book says demons, but I'm going to say unclean spirits, okay? So this is to be your attitude towards any unclean spirit. As soon as they are discovered, they are to be driven out. And I read this, and I thought, you know, I understand. I truly understand. I'm just going to speak from a woman. If there's a man on the call, then he can speak up right now and speak from a man's perspective. But I'm going to speak from a woman's perspective. I understand how we as women, we don't want to be alone, and we want to have that relationship with our husband or ex-husband restored. We want that. Maybe we want it for ourselves. Maybe we want it for our children, whatever the case may be. Maybe we want it because we know that deep down in our heart, this is what God has called us to do. But before that individual can come back, and I won't say before they can come back, because we've heard of many cases where people come back and they're still not, they're still living in that sinful state, right? But what is God's perfect will for us? As his child, and I think, Angela, I've even heard you say this, as a queen, as a princess of God, as his daughter, he wants the very best for me, which means he doesn't want to put me in a situation where I'm living with an unclean spirit, where an unclean spirit, I'm now having to yield and be obedient to an unclean spirit because that's what the other person is still yielding their members to. Going back to the natural, if an alcoholic is an alcoholic and a husband and a wife divorce because, let's say the man is the alcoholic, he leaves home, and now she's living in a house of peace. She has peace in her home. She doesn't have him coming in, you know, being physically or verbally abusive and not seeking God, so they're divided. They can't be on one accord. And yet he comes, she's praying, and God's like, okay, I'm going to permit this, and he allows that husband to come back home. And he comes back home in the same state. He's still being verbally and physically abusive. He's still drinking every night. He's still being hurtful to the children, if there are children. What is that? Ask yourself, what is that? You don't want that. You want to drive that spirit out. And so our job is to pray and decree to bind, to cast out those unclean spirits from that individual, and to just continue to ask God for his grace, to be patient until God does the work in them, so that when they come home, you're not dealing with a false start and dealing with having to submit yourself to an unclean spirit. That's kind of how I see it. So I'll stop right there. Maybe someone disagrees, or they can give kind of a different opinion or a different experience. And so this is all open to that. I definitely want to hear what you have to say.
So I have an in-home prodigal. So, you know, every day it's in my face. And it's been one of the hardest things I've ever had to do when they're in with the spirit of lust. I mean, it when I found out, it was like, it almost destroyed me. I mean, at one point I fell on my legs, my knees, and I told God, I was like, just take me now. My kids won't miss me. You know how the enemy tells you no one's going to miss you, no one loves you, and you kind of fall in line with that.
And I think at that moment, something just broke inside of me. And it's a hard, I tell people, I mean, I think it'd be easier if I just kick him out and tell him be on his way, you know, but it's hard. And people question me because I've only told but a few people. And they questioned me. They said, well, how do you know it's your will and not God's will? How do you discern? I told them, I said, because I prayed it away. I told them, I said, I don't even want it. Just take it. Take the marriage. Take it all. I just want peace. And I told them, I said, it's just this fire inside my heart that just doesn't want to die down. And then everywhere I go, I see scripture. And it's just like, this is what I have to do. This is my calling. And it's hard. I mean, I tell people, I was like, it's the hardest thing every day to be obedient. Sometimes I get baited. Like yesterday was a hard day. I was baited into arguments, and I kept saying, peace, be still. And I was like, God, just, and that's one of my favorite James, when I sit there and I just tell him, I said, I submit to you, God. I resist the devil, and it will flee. And I say it time and time again until, you know, until I can get some peace. But it's hard when you have an in-home. It's one of the hardest things because it's always in your face, whether they're on the phone or this, and then they're always saying this and that, and you don't even recognize that person anymore. And even with the intern, they don't spend time with their kids, and it's just me and the kids, and I, you know, it's a hard thing to stand. And some days you break. Some days I question the faith. I say, is it him or is it me? So it's hard to discern, but I guess for me, no matter where I go, everywhere I look, it's just a reminder, like, you got to keep going. You got to keep having faith.
You got to keep, and you're doing the right things. You got to keep speaking God's word over the situation. And it doesn't matter, like you said, whether they're in home or out of the home. A journey of restoration is a very difficult, challenging journey, and I don't recommend it to anyone. But if God has called us to that place, then that's the calling. And you're right. Your situation is probably harder, but the people who are doing it the other way, they may not see it that way. They may say, oh, well, it's more difficult when you don't get to see the person or you don't get to talk to the person. I can't agree or disagree with them. I can only speak for my situation, and you can only speak for your situation. It's like the person who said, I thought I had it bad because they didn't have any arms, I think it was, until they saw the person that had no legs.
Yeah.
Or the person who says, you know, I thought it was bad because I couldn't speak until they saw the person who couldn't hear. And so affliction is affliction, and it's your journey, and there are very few people along the way that are going to understand and be that support with you in your journey. And yesterday in my readings, there's very few people, very few. If you find one person, you find one person, you are good. So
yeah, with today's girl, you're gonna look crazy to everybody.
Within the different marriage restoration ministries, it's hard for some of us to stand with another marriage because you're seeing that person suffering. And you're like, girl, maybe you should just go on. You know, it can be challenging even within people who understand and know. So I'm going to go through a few questions here, and because I thought these questions really helped me understand a little bit better. And it's just a few of them. Well, it's quite a few of them, but I don't know if I'm going to do all of them or not. Okay, so question number one says, and the reason I'm doing this is because I want to stay on spiritual warfare, because that's what a journey is. You may as well call standing for my marriage is spiritual warfare. You're in battle, and you're going to be in this battle for the rest of your life. The only thing you get is a reprieve, and sometimes your reprieve will be longer than other times. So when you get married, they may as well say, do you take this person to be your spiritual warfare partner? So, because marriage is the beginning of it. It really is. Oh. Okay, so this thing says here, what does the title of this book suggest to you? The book is called Pigs in the Parlor, and I tell you, I did not understand the title of the book until I read the passage that I read to you all a few minutes ago. And basically, my understanding is, I don't want any pigs in my physical body, and I don't want any pigs in my physical home. I don't want them there. I don't want no pigs around me.
Unless it's bacon.
Nope, I don't even want that. Give me turkey
I ate
bacon.
This morning, and it was delicious. Okay.
Give me beef bacon. Cause you know what? In the Bible, God sent those unclean spirits into the pig. Why did he choose to send them into it? Because even in the Bible, they weren't considered as clean. And even those who dealt with them weren't considered as clean. You know, this stuff, hey. All right, then it says, what is the goal of demon spirits and why? Their goal, and if you want to write some of this down, I encourage you to, so that you don't forget, because that's the job of the enemy, is to take the knowledge away from you. Knowledge is powerful, so I'm going to give you 30 seconds to get yourself a pen or put it in your phone for some notes, because when you have this knowledge, it changes even how you pray. It has changed how I pray. Because for me, it's not about my ex coming home anymore. It really is not about that. All I care about at this point is that he has a right relationship with God so that he can have a right relationship with our daughter and with myself. And that, you know, that's it. Bottom line, have a right relationship with God and have a right relationship with the people in your life, his mother, his brothers, you know, me, anybody, his co-workers, the people that you manage. Because if your relationship with God isn't right, it's going to infect everybody that you come in touch with. Talk about a pandemic. Okay. Mm-hmm. What is the goal of demon spirits and why? Their goal, and this is what I said earlier, when I learned this definition, it meant so much to me because now I understand free will better. Their goal is to influence our free will away from serving God. And if you can get a person, if you can see a if a demon spirit can get you to see that individual as this being part of that character and not seeing it as that demonic spirit that is influencing them, they're winning. Because now you don't want to be around this individual. You're thinking they're a bad person. And you know, Angela, she says the same thing that we all have said. This is not the person I married. My ex said that about me when I was the prodigal. This is not the woman I married. The woman I married loved and adored me. This person wants to have me run over by a car. This is not the woman I married. All right. What makes someone or something spiritually unclean? My answer was yielding to an unclean spirit or yielding to sin. The answer that the book gave was exposure to, participating in, sin or unhealthy conditions, whether physically or mentally. Also, sins within the bloodline. So we know those as generational curses. So that's why I said when you yield to sin, the first time it may be like, oh, okay, that was cool. God didn't strike me dead. I'm good. You know, the first time someone, even a child, if a child lies and they're not caught in their lie, they'll be like, I got away with it. Ha ha. So the next time it gets a little bit easier. Oh, I got away with it. And they lied again. And then they do it again. And maybe you did see it as the parent, but for whatever reason you chose not to call them out on it, you know, and they're like, oh, I got away with it. And they keep on going until they get to be an adult. And then they lie again. And this time they're caught, you know. And they're like thinking, this is okay. It's okay to lie if you're not hurting anybody. I'm okay, but that sin of lying has taken hold, and now that's who that person seems to be. They're called a liar. And the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So, but because we don't die an immediate death, like Eve didn't die immediately when she bit into that fruit, she thought, okay, God lied, and the enemy, the devil, he told the truth. So here, Adam, you take some. Anyhow, I digress. Consider, let me see if this one is important. Consider possession of land versus trespassing. So I'm going to give a few scriptures. Let me check my time. 1:40 my end. Might be 4:40 for some of the others on East Coast. Okay, so this I want you all to think about. especially for those of us who are having to deal with unclean spirits, whether when they raise up. So sometimes your spouse will, that spirit that is influencing them will lay dormant for a season. It may be an hour or a day, it may be a week, but then it'll rear its ugly head. So I want you to think about these scriptures as we're going through this. Luke 4, 33 through 34, a man with an unclean demon cries out before Jesus. What did Jesus tell the spirit to do? And very simply, and I'm just going to go through and give you the answers for the sake of time. Jesus told it to go away and let us alone. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse 28 and 29, violent demons speak out in fear. What were the demons afraid of in the above passage? What were the demons afraid of in Matthew 8, 28 through 29? Those demons were afraid of torment, and this is ironic because they're the ones who do the tormenting. So they themselves were afraid to be tormented. In Mark 9th chapter 17 and 18, it says, what kind of demonic activity was occurring and who was the victim? In Mark the 9th chapter, it was a child, a young boy, that was being attacked with mutinous and epileptic convulsions and seizures. Then it goes on, it says, is there a relationship between deliverance from demon activity and the healing of a physical body? So I just want to read this to you. It says that there is such a thing as a sickness being caused by a demonic spirit. Jesus rebuked a fever in Luke 4, 38 and 39. And then the spirit of infirmity was the root cause in Luke 13, the 11th chapter. That doesn't mean that every time you get a headache, it's because of sin or you have a demonic spirit attacking you. So I'm not trying to say that at all. I'm just dealing with these particular situations in this particular scripture. Demons claim that your body is a house. Demons make this claim through lies and deception. Satan is referred to as the father of lies, and that's found in John, the 8th chapter, verse 44. So sometimes if a spouse comes to you and says, I know that I'm supposed to divorce you. God told me I'm supposed to get a divorce. You can rest assured. You ain't got to argue with the person that is not God, because that is contrary to the word of God. And so there's a scripture, I believe, in Proverbs or Psalms that says, better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Now, I know that's not how the word reads it, says it. That's kind of man's interpretation of it. It says here that they show the desire to control and possess a living body and to deceive the victim into believing that the demonic behaviors and thoughts are part of the person. Notice that they call them a victim. Okay? Parasites such as ticks and leeches must attach themselves to another living being in order to thrive. So that's the only way that the enemy can continue to thrive or to live, is by deceiving a person, a soul, your husband, your child, that what they're doing is truly of God. Because do you think about this, if I thought for 1 minute that when I was being rebellious, I was under the influence of the enemy, that I would have continued to do it, but I was deceived into thinking that my rebellion was of the will of God. Why? How did that happen? Because at the time, I looked at what my husband was doing, because I was married at the time. I looked at what my husband was doing, and I'm like, well, he's not living according to what God says. Therefore, I have a right to not listen to him. Why do I have to be obedient to somebody who is not doing God's will? So the enemy deceived me and deceived my thoughts, and he got me in my mind. And that's why Joyce Meyer wrote that book also, Battlefield of the Mind. He comes to attack the mind, and if he can get you to think a certain way, then he's got you. He's deceived us. And so that's why I always tell people in studying that speak these things out loud wherever possible. when you see the enemy at work and trying to change your thoughts, you have to speak out over yourself. I decree and declare that I am the righteousness of God. I decree and I declare that my mind is of the mind of Christ. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I know we can't go around the house. If you have an in-home prodigal when you're in the midst and they're trying to bait you in, I love how someone said that today. If they're trying to bait you in, it's not a wise decision for you to argue back with that person. I made that mistake a few weeks ago, and I tried to justify my behavior, and I tried to defend my behavior. Nope, wrong move. My best course of action would have been to, I see what you're saying, I agree, and cut it off, you know, and just cut it off and deal with that. But under my breath, I could be saying, I could put the phone on mute when they're talking and be like, I bind and I cast out that spirit of whatever it is. I bind and I cast out that spirit of deception. I bind and I cast out in the name of Jesus. Don't leave out Jesus. If you ever watched the movie War Room, she said that's the problem. People want to leave Jesus out. So another one here, and I'm going to stop soon because it's getting close. Let's see here. Next question. Oh, Matthew, the 12th. Did I give you Luke 4:38-39 and Luke 13:11? And that was the woman who had the infirmity. Matthew 12:43-44. This is just talking about the boy who fell into convulsions and appeared as dead, which is important when you go into the next scripture, which is in Luke. Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 26 through 33. Yeah. Is that it? No, that's not. Yeah, that's not it. Yeah, no, that is it. That's the one that talks about the pigs, right? Going into the man. Come on, you Bible scholars here.
Which one was it again?
Luke 8:26 through 33.
Yes, that's the one.
Okay, thank you. So here it says, read the account of the demoniac, Luke 8:26-33. It says, could the man speak for himself? No, he could not. The demon spoke out of the man, and the demons asked him, it says, what did the man do to receive his deliverance? So I'm going to read something to you here because I thought this was interesting. The demon leader of the legion within the man, which was comprised of 2,000 demons, because remember he said, I am legion. It says he fell at Jesus' feet in supplication. This is what happened with the man. It says if Jesus delivered the most extreme case, then all things are possible. Demons can enter animals as well as humans. I think that I'm going to answer this and add a little humor. When my dog disobeys me and poops on the floor, I think it's a demon that's making him poop on my floor because he knows to do better. This says demons as spirit beings do not have all knowledge. Jesus knew that a man losing 2,000 demons at once could be extremely stressful for the man. So Jesus cast out demons by the finger of God. Let me go back over here. Why do you think Jesus agreed to allow the legion of demons to enter the pigs? And their response was that he knew that 2,000 demons at once could be extremely stressful for the man. That didn't fully make sense to me. I have to kind of think about that a little bit more. We have seen Jesus minister. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's a sermon that I listened to early on in my stand by T. Jakes, called A Fight for the Territory, and he breaks down uh-huh. the scripture really, really good, and it helps you to see why the Legion, it wasn't even about man.
Uh-huh.
It was about the territory. So when I look at it, it's like, it's not even about Quentin. It's about the legacy and the family unit, because anything that God has created, the enemy opposes it.
Right.
So he talks about how Jesus cast out the Legion and threw them into a herd of pigs. So if you get a chance, that's a really good sermon to explain that.
Yeah, I may have to have you read that and bring that to us next time, a synopsis of that, because I know it's probably been a while. You may not remember all of it, but that would definitely be good as we're studying and talking about spiritual warfare. But, yeah, I'm interested as well. I want to hear it. So we have seen so far Jesus ministering deliverance in a number of instances. Was casting out demons a critical part of Jesus' earthly ministry? And you can read Luke 11 and 20. What do you all think? Was that critical to Jesus' ministry, casting out demons?
I think it was a part of it because, you know, where we see things as, like, commonplace,
mm-hmm.
that's how they saw, like the child with epilepsy. They were like, oh, just that's what he does or whatever. But then when Jesus came along, it was like, no, that's not normal, you know, because he was able to cast that out.
Yes, I totally agree.
And it helped them to see, and us now to see that's how powerful his name is, and that's what he did, and what he still does today.
Hey, there you go. You hit the nail on the head. This says, Jesus cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God. So if Jesus cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon us. Casting out demons is the basis for the establishment of the kingdom on earth. So I'm going to say unclean spirits, because I know that some will be afraid of just even saying the word demon. Because if you notice, we kind of water it down and say the enemy. But I'm for the sake of going forward, I'm going to just keep saying unclean spirits, because it is those spirits that really influence each of us, whether it's an unclean spirit or a righteous spirit. So right now, I'm going to keep focusing on unclean spirits. So casting out unclean spirits is the basis for the establishment of the kingdom on earth. As light advances, darkness flees, and individuals are then set free from oppression and torment. Deliver us from evil is part of Jesus' model prayer to the Father. Remember that the disciples' prayer or the Lord's prayer, one of the key things in that prayer is deliver us from evil. And so at the very least, when you wake up in the morning, say that prayer. If you don't even know the whole prayer, say that part. Deliver us from evil. We have got to continue to cover our homes with the blood of Christ. God's people, especially his leaders, should function in the same way that Jesus, our great shepherd, did. And I'm going to try to get through the rest of these. Some groups decide not to address the need for deliverance with their congregations. Do you think that believers will be helped in their search for freedom if the pulpits ignore this topic? And no, they will not, but that's okay, because there are deliverance ministries out here. One that I have found to be very useful, and she has very short sermons. See if I can find her name real quick here for you all. Her name, because I can't, I'm drawing a blank. Oh, Kathy. Her name is Kathy DeGraw. If you do a search on Kathy DeGraw Ministry, she has very short instructional messages, podcasts on deliverance. And I would encourage you to listen to her ministries. I have not found one yet that wasn't helpful. She gives you practical, it's usually like a 10-minute message with practical ways that you can identify and fight these unclean demonic spirits that are attacking your marriage, your family, okay? So that's all I really wanted to cover today. I think you can find her on Charisma Podcast Network, but her name is Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y, DeGraw, D-E-G-R-A-W. It's called Prophetic Spiritual Warfare. So use every source that you can get your hands on to help you in this fight. Prayers That Rout Demons is written by John Eckhart, E-C-K-H-A-R-D-T. He has very short prayers in here that you can pray. And then Bait of Satan is a book written by John Bevere, and I would like to pick this up next Sunday. And we were on chapter 6, and just really start going through our Bait of Satan book once again. So I want to be fair to your time, keep it at an hour. But before we go, I'm going to give you my cell phone number. You're free to text me. All I ask is that I'm in Arizona, so for those of you who are on the East Coast and want to get up at 7 a.m. in the morning and reach out to somebody, that's not me, because it's 4 a.m. on my end. I'm not the one. So, if you want to reach out to me later in the day, hey, that's good. My cell phone number is 703-508-7976. And my name is Lisa. Be careful what you say. 703-508-7976. As we get ready to leave the call today, I want to encourage you to be very careful about what you speak. Be careful who you speak to. Stand in agreement with the Word of God and not in agreement with what the enemy is saying to you. The devil will say some really mean, nasty things using your spouse as their tool. If you hear something that the devil is saying through your spouse, speak the contrary of what God is saying. So, for example, if the devil says to you, "I wish I had never married you," that is going to hurt. That is a very painful thing that the enemy uses the spouse to say to the stander. Then you have to take the word of God, and you have to speak out loud, "I am the righteousness of God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And you say whatever you got to say that is lines up with God's word until those words from the enemy no longer are ringing in your mind. Or find yourself a song. I've been listening to Pharrell Williams, "'Cause I'm Happy." That song just makes me feel so good. In a room without a roof, I don't even know all the words to it, but I just look at him dancing and singing that song. So you cannot stand in agreement with what the enemy is saying, and they can use anybody. Learn about familiar spirits. It could be your mother. It could be your father. It could be your own child coming to you and saying to you, "Why are you praying for Daddy to come home? He's still the same. Why do you want that?" That is nothing but a familiar spirit speaking through your child. They can use anybody. Nobody is free from being used by the enemy. So any other comments before we go today?
Just thank you.
You're welcome.
Something I needed. Thank you.
I will try to post reminders on RMM and through our Virtuous Woman Group Me of when we have other calls. Just remember that today was standing on scripture, so I really wanted to stay focused on marriage restoration, and because I know that's what we're coming here for, the ladies who and men who are joining this call. That's the purpose. The next one will be on April 12th, and on next Sunday, April 5th, I would like to discuss the book, Bait of Satan, and Right now I'm thinking chapter five or six, I believe, but it may not necessarily be that chapter. I may start skipping around. With that said, is there anybody who wants to close us out in prayer? Okay, I guess it'll be me. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word that is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We thank you, Lord, for that you've clothed us in our right mind to stand on your scripture, Lord God, because whatever you have written, Lord, we know that it is true because your word does not come back void to us. We thank you, and we pray, Lord, for your wisdom, your strength, and for you to go before us, behind us, beside us, all around us and within us, as we stand on your word for our marriages to be restored, for our families to be restored, and for us to be restored to you, which is our heart's desire. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
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 Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.